Hello and welcome to another episode of the Fit Check Podcast. I am your host today, Brett Campbell, and today we are going to spice things up a little bit. Today's episode is going to be a FAQ style format. So I've got a very special guest with me today, fellow fitness professional and Fit Check Transformations Ballina location owner and awesome all-round dude, Shannon Mack. Welcome to the show, buddy.
Brett, thank you, mate. Very good to be here.
Excellent. Now, the reason why we're doing a quick FAQ session today, where I'm going to throw a heap of questions at Shannon and put him on the spot, is Shannon's beautiful wife, Maddie, is about to give birth. Not right at the second, of course, because he'd certainly be there. But we're maximizing our time today. Look, on that note, congratulations, mate. And no doubt,
yeah, thank you.
In a few hours or by the end of today, you are going to be a proud father, so congratulations.
Very good, maybe.
Yeah, excellent. So don't sound too excited though, mate, eh? Maddie will be listening to this and she'll be going, geez, you could have been a bit more excited. But let's get stuck straight into the show, mate. And I'm really excited about this format because what it does is it actually puts yourself on the spot and, you know, get straight to the point with our answers so our listeners can take away some gold nuggets here. But before I do, I guess it's really important actually, and almost forgot, I've got to give you a bit of a background on Shannon. And, apart from being an all-round awesome dude, he's been in the industry for over 10 years. He's transformed the lives of thousands of individuals over this time. So he really knows what he's talking about. He's an advanced level fitness coach. So he knows his stuff when it comes to, not only losing body fat, building muscle. And there's a little secret that he can put his leg around his head. I don't know if that's true or not, but all right, Shannon, let's get stuck straight into the FAQ style, mate. So we're going to give you 60 seconds max to answer each question, okay? So if you're going over the 60 seconds, I'm going to beep you out or I'll give you a bit of pressure and say, you got 10 seconds left or something like that. All right, so first question, what is the best way to lose body fat? Go.
Yeah. Use a variety of rep ranges in your training. I would say essentially 2 to 3 sessions per week where you essentially are using some body weight strength training or whatever it is to get stronger with 1 to 2 interval-based sessions and possibly sprinkle a little bit of longer. I mean, you can go for some activities with the family and that kind of stuff as well. But only incorporate the longer style duration activity if you've sort of got your nuts and bolts, your meat and potatoes with your 2 to 3 resistance-based sessions in there with 1 to 2 interval-based sessions, and then obviously you can round it out with some longer activity. So in a nutshell, that with a nutrition program that suits you is the best way to shift body fat.
Excellent. You did that well. About 10 seconds left, mate. So I know it's a very hard question, and the reason why I put you on the spot with that as well, to our listeners, this is certainly an ad lib, interview chat with Shannon here, so we haven't really prepared it. It just goes to show you how hard it actually is to try and provide advice. And this is a question that we as fitness professionals get asked on a daily basis, going, what's the best way to lose fat? And it really is hard to sum up, but you did really well there. So let's dive deep into it a little bit further. What is the best way for someone to lose fat from their thighs? What would you say?
Well, I'd say spot reduction is not usually something that we tout the benefits of, because obviously when you shift body fat, you may shift it from different areas of the body. So to hit certain areas, I would say use exercises that hit multiple muscles, so compound exercises. So use a program that targets your legs, your upper body, your back, your core, and everything in a time period, rather than specifically focusing on that one muscle or that group itself. So multiple muscles, upper body and lower body, to shift body fat overall, and over time it will sort of you'll lose it from your areas that you would like to.
Cool. So let's talk about split training versus full body training. Okay. So I'm talking about we hear a lot where someone's going, I've got arms today, I've got shoulders today, legs on Thursday, those type of programs. What's your opinion on split training like that, or doing full body training where you're training all the muscle groups in the same day?
Yeah, absolutely. So, I mean, obviously the end goal is what you're after. So it depends on the program. But very rarely do we, especially with our clients, I mean, we don't work with a lot of elite level bodybuilders or anything like that. So that's a different story. So majority of our programs are based around a full body or an upper lower split, or an upper lower full body split, which means obviously the third one is one upper, one lower, and then the third day is a full body or close. So very rarely do we split it up into body parts as such, because it is a more advanced model, and most people that are experimenting with that aren't at that level. They've built a foundation to be able to transition into an isolated approach to training. So majority of our clients are on a full body or upper lower split. Full body usually two or three times a week based on the client and how often they can train, and an upper lower split obviously with someone that can sort of do 3 or 4 days a week, depends on the rotating schedule.
Awesome. Great answer. All right. So let's look at progression in training. So it's really important when someone undertakes a training program that, you know, they progress throughout the whole journey, right? So it's not a matter of, I got results in the first 6 weeks and then now I've hit a plateau. How does someone know when it's time to progress, and what are the general things that you progress with?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, that's quite a broad question, but obviously we'll dive as much into it as possible.
You just used 10 seconds there too, by the way. Go.
So now I've got 60 because you asked me again. So, I mean, with regards to internally in a program, we look to make progress each week with the client, and that might be through extra reps or extra weight or whatever it may be. But most people only focus on obviously the weight that or the weight of the exercises as a sole progression. But there's many ways, obviously increasing the as I said, the time under tension, increasing the rep ranges, increasing the range or the range of motion that it goes through, adding sets, adding extra volume, decreasing rest. There's multiple ways that you can actually progress someone, even with one exercise, a simple push-up. You can use that for months and months on end without even adding weight, just by progressions of depth and time under tension, and adding isometric holds and the like as well.
Cool. So for someone listening then, let's elaborate on that a little bit, because it can all sound like there's no shortage of techniques and strategies and ways, because, you know, you could superset workouts, you can do negative, you can do isometric holds, you can do so many different things. I guess what the biggest issue that I know and that I hear from a lot of our FitCheck members is, when do you utilize these things? Like, do you go to the gym and go, okay, today I'm going to do supersets and negatives, and I'm going to do a time under tension hold here, and I'm going to do, you know, when do you actually implement it, and when is a good time to?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I'll give you some examples, some of our female clients. I mean, when we do speak to them, I mean, that they obviously want to shift a bit of body fat or change the way or but also one of the things that I've noticed a lot of ladies, they do want to feel empowered with what they do, and they do want to get stronger in certain movements. So we've had a lot of ladies that they first said to us, I want to be able to do a chin-up. And that's pretty exciting to be able to do, because it is very empowering and purely their goal to do that, whether it be a confidence thing or just to finally achieve something that they've been trying to forever. So even, I mean, take the chin up, for example. Like, so if we want to build up the strength in that, we will add certain holds, for example, in the hold up top or hold at bottom, to build strength in that range, and even add some negative or the eccentric phase. So, for example, to build strength in the chin-up, we might get a female up top or someone up top to actually control the way down and then help them back up, which is a negative chin-up. So those two examples of isometric holds through various ranges of the chin-up and also negatives can build strength to, over time, be able to perform a full rep chin-up on their own, which we've had multiple ladies be able to do.
So just talking to that even further, is like, when do you do that though? So do you do a negative or a hold at the top and bottom every session? Do you do it for a week, 2 weeks? How do you put that into your current programming?
Yeah, definitely. Again, as I said, like, the goal of the person is the key. So we'll use, for example, like, the nuts and bolts of our training will be around our bigger bang movements. So, for example, initially, if someone comes to us, we'll design our programs around like an alternating set exercise. So we might do, for example, a squat-based pattern paired with a chin-up. And if someone does want to build their chin-up up as well, we'll sort of add possibly we could do a band-assisted chin-up initially to start up. And then at the end, we might add a hold as like a little finishing exercise to continue to build a bit of strength. But also, I mean, there's no one black and white answer. We've had one session, if we have a lady or someone twice a week, we might do an eccentric or a down phase on one session, and then the next session we might do a hold-based exercise. So frequency with certain movements, if you want to improve them, is key. So if you want to improve certain bodyweight movements, we don't just do them once a week, because like anything, if you want to learn and be better at something, the more frequent exposures to that, obviously the better the end result.
Cool. So let's look at and change tact a little bit there, because I guess, you know, the answers that we're getting from that is there's many different ways to be able to programming it, and you know, there's not one way that is specific, but the key is to you know, and from my advice as well, is not to try and throw every modality training technique into your training program at the same time. So you're not going to go and just do supersets every day of the week for the next 6 weeks. You're going to throw them in, you know, maybe once, twice a week for the duration of your current program. So let's just finalize, how long do you believe someone should be sticking to a certain program for before they change and progress?
Yeah, good question. I mean, it also comes down to, I mean, we want usually around that 3 to 4 week mark, we've found, I mean, that's not set in stone. Obviously, we've had people obviously on programs for a bit longer, and then we slightly tweak them. But usually for a mental, like a mental stimulation too, we do run our a few of our programs on a 4 week rotation. So we might do an intro week, then week two and week three really pushes the boundaries. And if we feel someone's in it more of a intermediate to advanced level where they've pushed the envelope and they need a bit of a back off week, we might use week four as something completely different. Or for someone that's a little bit of less experience, we might use week four as another PB week to see if we can set some more records. And then following that might be the start of a new phase, as in week one again, which might be another lesser volume or more of an intro base. So majority are on a 4 week rotation, but in saying that, I mean, we can essentially sort of bring someone up to the end of their program if they've need a bit of a back off before starting something new a little bit earlier. And sometimes we've had them go even a bit longer because they're continually making progress on what they're on.
Mm. Again, another example of, you know, not everyone is the same, but there are some parameters around that. You know, I guess if you're looking at an elite athlete, you're changing their program, you know, every week or two, even every few days, because they're adapting a lot longer. So I know if for beginners, for example, you could keep a beginner on a program for 6 to 8 weeks and they're still adapting. So it really does depend on where you're at in the scheme of things. So let's talk about something that's a really popular question. I'm sure you get it all the time from your ladies that you personally train as well, is what's good pre-workout nutrition? So what do you eat before training? What's a good pre-workout meal?
Definitely. We've been answering this one quite a bit lately. I mean, we have obviously, we deal with real people, real life, families, jobs, and everyone's sort of different. So the way we'll always sort of say, we have a lot of people that can handle quite a bit of food before they train. But for those that we say training early in the morning, possibly make up, we say like obviously maybe even a protein shake if they can't handle too much food, and maybe have like half before, which has about 30 to 40 grams of protein in there, and then possibly even half after with a blend of berries or something like that as well. But if you're training later in the day, obviously you've had some meals to get under your meals in, and we'll kind of, majority of the time, say if someone's training early afternoon, is have a meal, but don't have one that sits on you too heavy. So you're not going to have one that's quite high in fat, and sits on you, so you're feeling it not digested through your training. So yes, again, individual.
What's an example of a meal that you would suggest?
So some of the ladies at the moment are just having obviously some yogurt and fruit pre-training, or even some obviously having a small bit of a protein shake, or even if we have some clients that train around 4 o'clock in the afternoon, they might have a meal around 1 to 2 and a bigger meal, and that sustains them into their, a protein source. I'm not going to give obviously protein, because in you can choose whatever protein source you like. I'm not holding you to any. So a bit of a protein source and a bit of fruit or an apple or something like that will definitely help you into your session. And then afterwards, if you need to get something in and you're not eating for a while, you can have a bit of a shake with some berries, or even a whole food meal will suffice.
Mm. And as a shameless plug, if you're not taking Motivate, which is a brand new on the market pre-workout supplement, yeah, we've just bought that out at the Fit Shop, fitshop.com.au. Go check it out. Getting rave reviews. It's a great pre-workout that we've been working on the formula that, you know, there's no crashes, there's no highs. It feels like you're on a bender. It's a really clean product. So go check that out if you're, you know, lacking energy and you need a bit of a boost there. So, Shannon, let's look at the topic that is heavily debated in industry. And I know everyone listening knows my stance on it, but what's your thoughts on counting calories, and is it good or is it bad? What are your thoughts around it?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's definitely a time and place for it. And it is, I mean, I network with a lot of other fitness professionals that they do solely rely on counting calories as well. I mean, we don't... with a lot of our clients, we use it as kind of like a progression. We sort of make, we call it habit coaching. So we coach them on certain habits that build them through, and we've got a base of our foundational habits that we want our clients to be able to achieve. And that's obviously fish, taking fish oil daily, eating protein in each meal, ample water, vegetables, and all that. So we have some base foundations that we want them to work. Once they've worked it through those, we kind of move them out of, for example, say level one and go into level two. And around those level two, level three, we might start getting a bit more specific in counting calories to help them move forward or take them to the next level. We don't use it with everyone, but we do use it with some clients as they progress out. But the most important thing is those foundations, and we coach them. What we do is we sort of set a habit for about 2 weeks, and we get their kind of their confidence in doing so on a scale of 1 to 10. So we'll set them a habit. For example, we'd like you to increase your protein intake and sort of have some at each meal. And we say, on a scale of 1 to 10, how confident are you in doing that? If they give us an 8 or above, we sort of go with that. And then we hit that, we nail that one habit for 2 weeks. After that, we might move on. Or if they have sort of struggled with that, we'll just revisit it and possibly continue that on for another 1 to 2 weeks until they've nailed it. And the idea is that over a month, 2 months, 6 months, a year, they've changed all these multiple habits to obviously a sound nutrition plan that works for them. We haven't kind of force-fed them an actual diet. And this is something that we'll maintain for the rest of their lives, because, and we've had sort of obviously our clients that do, once we set a habit and we continue on, they maintain that for the life of their training. And over 12 months, they've changed a hell of a lot. Multiply that for years, and you've pretty much changed your whole lifestyle.
Look, I think you just hit the nail on the head there, and, you know, it comes down to, you know, the alcoholic or the cigarette smoker who smokes a pack a day. Going cold turkey, and if you ask any of them, is just unachievable. Hence the reason jumping on the bandwagon, I want to get fit and healthy, and all of a sudden you're counting calories. You've got the app out there that allows you to count your calories, and you plug, oh, I had an apple today, and you put that in. And look, at the end of the day, for me, from my perspective as well, is you're dead right. It's got its time and place. But for the majority of the population, I personally believe that it really is an unachievable process until you have progressed yourself up to that level, which, you know, you've got a great little system there with the habits and changing habits, because that's what it really comes down to. It's about changing a lifestyle, changing the way you think, changing the way you act, not just changing one thing and hoping for the best. Because, you know, if you're still running your old default programs, your default responses to certain things, you know, you're gonna, like, for an example, is, you know, on a Saturday night, you could be sitting there watching a movie and you're like, oh, we've got to have a bag of lollies, a bag of pods, a bag of chips, and some chocolate milk. Now, I say that because I used to be like that. You know, I used to correlate the relationship between movie and dirty food, right? I'll go to the movies, and I have to even still resist going, oh, I smell the popcorn. But that right there is breaking a habit, that one habit at a time will change the way you actually live your life. So That was a lot longer than a 60-second answer, but it was a really, really good one, mate. So let's finish this episode right now with any words of wisdom. Now, I know because you yourself have talked to many females, and you know myself being in a group with over 15,000 ladies, being the only guy, I get a really good insight into the female psychology and really you know what it is that they want and you know generally how they go about it. So what's some words of wisdom from your side of things and your experiences that you can impart onto someone who's looking to literally transform their life, whether they're looking to build muscle, lose fat, whatever the case, whatever the end result, what can you share with them?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, one of the biggest things that I've found with working with all our clients is that support network is so valuable, and it's one of the biggest things that will continue, that we'll keep on push. So when you start, I mean, you might be scared, you're nervous, you're unsure of what to do. You got to find someone that you trust, someone that you believe that, but also you got to be able, they're going to be able to help you. But the support that you can get from a group of ladies, and what we have created with all our ladies, especially with like with the fit chicks and with our personal clients, I mean, they're our friends, they're our second family, and people actually treat it like that as well. They're places to go. They go home and they go to work and they come here. They come here to see us and to be a part of what we've created, because it's not just about the training. You can do a squat anywhere, but it's coming here, it's being a part of the whole, the environment, the vibe, and someone that will be behind you to support you in every step of the way. You can't beat that. Yeah. And that's something you need to seek out. It's huge. And I'm sure Brett agrees with me massively on that. When you're starting, even when you're taking the next step, you've got to find your network. You've got to find who you can trust, ask questions, and be a part of. And that'll just take you to the next level.
Yeah, and if you look at that, you know, the powerful thing there is you just need to look at any faith, okay? Any religion out there is, you know, they go to church on Sunday, they go to church on Tuesday afternoons, they turn up, they do their events, they come together as a group and they all believe. And that's what you're saying right there, Shannon, is joining a group of people. And, you know, whether it's joining a fitness location or whether it's joining a personal trainer, whether it's just joining, you know, you're in the Fit Chick group that you're currently in now or any other group of that matter, is being able to talk to like-minded individuals, because it's a lot easier on the journey when there's someone else on it with you. So let's sum up on that point, mate. Thank you so much for jumping on the show. I heard a bit of a beep before on your phone. I was wondering if that was the wonder if that was Maddie giving you the page. It would have been really good for a show perspective. Definitely great interrupt there if it was, but mate,
not as yet.
Okay, damn it. Maybe we'll keep talking until it happens. We can have a on show moment. No, look, thanks a lot, buddy. Appreciate your time.
Good on you.
And
thank you
for everyone out there listening. Head over to fiitchicks.com.au, click on the podcast tab, and you can listen to all of our past episodes. Even better, if you want to head over to iTunes, write us an awesome review. Thank you to the people who have done that. Thank you very much. What we will do is we'll read that out next week on the next episode. So until then, stay tuned. Get out there, live your life how you want to live it. Thanks.